May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every road. May you stay.
Things up tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. First of all, that intro music, Forever Young, was chosen to honor my dad. He would have been 109 years old yesterday. He actually only lived to be 81. I still miss him and think about him on his birthdays, and I thought I'd do a little shout out to him there. As my mom still says when she visits us, I bet your daddy's up there in heaven looking down at us and saying, that's my boy. It's a nice thought. You know, they never actually planned on my coming along. They were married on the 3rd of March. I came along on the 23rd. Of course, it was 7 years later. After Dad's third case of mumps, I wasn't supposed to be a possibility, but, well, hey, here I am. A few years later, when I was in first grade, I was recovering from chicken pox. Should have been still home in bed, but I'd been waiting for months to see my very favorite actress, Mary Martin, fly out over the audience and sing those wonderful songs as Peter Pan. And she was right there in Cincinnati, and we had tickets, and my parents generally couldn't refuse me much of anything. So we went. It was wonderful. After the show, we waited at the stage door so I could give her a proper dose of adoration. But she went out a different way, so we headed on home. No doubt I cried the whole way. That little trip probably had a lot to do with the asthmatic pneumonia I developed about the next week. It put me in the hospital for 6 weeks in an oxygen tent. A few visits from the parish priest to say funny words and look worried. And a couple shots of penicillin every day. Anyway, that was another time I wasn't really supposed to have made it through. My mom stayed there just about every minute of that 6 weeks. I'm blessed to still have her around today at 97 years old. But, you know, I've lost count of the incidents like that, the little miracles that have made it possible for me to be here talking with you tonight. Maybe I'm afraid to count. I'm figuring I only get 9, right? But I think actually I'm probably more like a wolf or maybe a rat than I am like a cat, so I'm not sure how many lives I'm officially entitled to. I don't know how many of those other animals get. I figure I'm still here because there's something I have to do to make a difference. Maybe the show's part of it. I'm really trying to make a difference by talking to all of you week after week. But, of course, maybe I'm still here for some totally other reason. Whatever. I just keep on trying to do my best. Sometimes I end up doing my worst instead, but it doesn't help to think too much about those times. And I wouldn't change them even if I could. But it's the totality, the good and the bad in there too. That's what makes me who I am. Better to just keep on keeping on. Make the future better. Doesn't help to dwell on whatever mistakes we may have made in the past. They would like us to remember every little thing we've ever done wrong and to be afraid of everyone around us, and especially to be afraid of them. Well, don't fall into their trap. Don't let them control you with their fear. Instead, empower yourself with the wonder that is you. I'm going to play the passage by Bill Hicks that, for our first year, served as the intro to our show. He, too, dreamed. He, too, had a dream for a better world. And even though he died in 1994, he's still making a difference today.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
I'm Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show. We're glad you stopped by. Please listen now to my friend and co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome special guest Sherwood Ross. Sherwood has been with us several times. He joins us each month as our monthly columnist of the air. So tonight we're gathering together for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, Coral Gables, Duluth, and wherever you are. It's the American Dream, and you have to be asleep to believe it. If you are groggy, if you need a pick-me-up, if you feel the hazy chemtrail cloud of ignorance and apathy and Americanism drifting over, and I suggest that you watch Black Op Radio. Just Google Black Op Radio, and they have a new series. It's called 50, it's a 50 series that they're going to run a special each week. And last week was the first week, and tonight, actually, their show comes on after ours, about 8 o'clock Central Time. Anyway, that'll be their second. Also, I would advise to read Jim Fetzer on Veterans Today. He also has a new series he's working on, The JFK War and Insider's Guide. And always, I would recommend to listen to Kevin Barrett on American Freedom Radio. Something else I wanted to mention, we talked about this before, but the Transform Now Plowshares have been charged with sabotage, added to their charges. They're awaiting a February trial. I think it's February 26th. And the history of that is on July 28th of this year, Greg Borchi, Sister Megan Rice, and Mike Wally entered the nuclear weapons complex at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and poured blood on the enriched uranium materials facility to protest ongoing nuclear weapons production and plans for a new $7.5 billion bomb plant slated to begin production, construction, that is. The new sabotage charges on these three carry federal prison sentences of up to 20 years. The New American Dream Radio Show congratulates the Transform Plowshares three in their work exposing and fighting the United States military and their criminal ongoing efforts to control and apparently destroy the world. The real criminals are in the military and in the courts. The real heroes are these three protesters. In 100 years, we will realize that. We don't seem to realize it now because we are idiots. What else could it be? Don't be afraid to be a real American like the Transform Now Plowshares 3. There is a place like no place on earth, a land full of wonder, mystery, and danger. Some say to survive it, you need to be mad as a hatter. And if you come to understand this mad place, the others will tell you that you are entirely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret, all the best people are. Remember, they want us to be afraid, as they told us in the anthrax letters. We are not afraid. It is they who are afraid of us. That is why they work so hard, have so many big, guarded, expensive buildings full of people working day and night to deceive us. We are that good. And eventually, after a long struggle and many nights that we want to quit and many winter afternoon days when we think it will never turn out good, we will win. Back to you, Chuck.
Dude. Hey. Talking about unchecked aggression here. Forget it. You're out of your element. You fucking amateurs. I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand. Has the whole world gone crazy? Remember Pearl Harbor.
Yes, remember Pearl Harbor. Tattoo it on your forehead. They bombed your fucking harbor base.
They bombed my fucking harbor base.
That really tied the fleet together. Am I wrong? So, my man, how may I help you?
Listen, let's get something straight here. You're the man. I'm the people. That's what you call me. Oh, el gente, vox populi, if you're not into the whole brevity thing. It's a very complicated case. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have you.
What in God's name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. Got new information, man. New shit has come to light. Man, he bombed himself. Roosevelt, FDR, Pearl Harbor. To get the United States into World War II. It happens all the time, man. Delta Tonkin, sinking of the Maine, Operation Northwoods. It's a very complicated case, man. A lot of strands keep in my head, man. A lot of strands in the old people's head. Oklahoma City, Waco, 9/11, Wellstone.
You want a tow? I can get you a tow. Obviously, you're not a golfer.
JFK?
Market zero. I am the walrus.
RFK?
Market zero. I am the walrus.
MLK?
The bum's lost.
That's just like your opinion, man.
The bums will always lose. Your revolution is over. Condolences. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job. Forget about it.
Over the line.
Market zero.
Market eight, man. Or you're entering a world of pain. This is not Canada. This is Bowling Green, man. There are rules. Market eight.
There. Are you happy now, you crazy fuck? Fuck it. Hey. Forget about Pearl Harbor. Let's go bowling.
That base, I've really tied the fleet together.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski. Now it's time for Mr. Rogers' Midwestern Neocon Tea Party Neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. You look like a reasonably intelligent person. Uh-huh, yes you do. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? You look like you might give a shit about the wars and not talk about your lawn seed on the same day we begin to bomb Baghdad. Perhaps you're not like these other yokels in our tidy little neighborhood. You have brains inside your head and not hayseed. Yes, you do. Would you? Could you? Believe me? The American dream. It's time to wake up. You are not sleeping. It is daytime. You look out your window. Robins, squirrels, Wiener dog poop, fair to partly cloudy, it's all a fairy tale. You are inside a children's book with dragons and monsters and evil kings and queens. You are a character inside someone else's made-up book. How did we come to this, my neighbor? We have fake history, boys and girls. Yes, we do. Our junior high and high school history books should be in italics, handed out by the teacher on the first day with a wink. Remember the Maine, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, moon landing, stolen elections, Osama bin Laden buried at sea. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Somebody said that. We have not been vigilant. We have been watching TV. We think the country runs on cruise control, the heavy lifting having been done earlier in the morning by those who gave us the 8-hour day, the minimum wage, ended war. They suffered. They struggled. They died that we might be free. That is where our thanks should go and where our examples lie, not in the military. The poor are ridiculed, persecuted, hunted down in America. The chase sounded by barking pigs on the radio. Yes, it is. Most Americans are ignorant of their own history. Yes, they are. And I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do. I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you.
Our guest tonight is Sherwood Ross. Sherwood was born in Chicago, Illinois. He's got his BA from University of Miami in Coral Gables, and, well, he's bounced back and forth between Chicago and Coral Gables, as far as I can tell, because he worked for the city of Chicago, and now he lives back in Coral Gables. We have Sherwood once a month doing a column for us, but today he's been gracious enough to share some poems with us. And I'm going to give him a call right now to get started.
Hello.
Hello, Sherwood. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Oh, it's a pleasure is all mine. How are you doing?
We're doing just great. I've already introduced you, and I'm hoping that you'll give us some those poems that you were talking about.
Okay. Well, I can start on the poems. I sent you three. One is an anti-war poem. Another is kind of an amusing poem about aging. And the last is a love poem. So there's some variety there. It might keep people from falling asleep.
I don't think there's much worry of them falling asleep listening to you.
Well, thank you so much. So I'll begin with the first poem. It's called The Sun King. And it's dedicated to our illustrious chief executive in the White House. The Sun King rose and began his day, slaying his enemies an ocean away. Technical marvels had he perfected to kill heretics when detected, ignoring the hunger, the starving world, and war upon war, his flag he unfurled. The Sun King killed without mercy or pity, evil to wipe out nation or city. Why, the man was mightier than Genghis Khan, and a salesman better than the Fuller Brush Man. His priests approached him every morn. They made mumbo-jumbo and blew their horn and handed him a list of those to die by the killer birds he launched in the sky. Priest and king knights danced round the fire, their blood-red faces to fear and admire. Yea, humanity held its collective breath, for the Sun King's face was the face of death. The devil's wrath Americans bring when they elect a president and let him rule like a king. This next poem is called Confessions of an Old Fart. And, well, that was the audience's reaction when I read it in the bookstore. All I had to do was read the first line, and they just all bust out laughing. So, okay. I am an old fart, used to overseeing the slow deterioration of my corporeal being. Time has wrinkled my face and coarsened my hands and bronzed them like wind-rippled sands blown off the Arizona desert. Blue veins enlarged themselves without my consultation or consent. Coursing down my wrists, they seep like sluggish rivers in the arroyos of the dry kingdom of the cactus, where the diamondback and the iguana creep, where the lonely Navajo cowboy rides all the starry night around his sheep. Time, my undefeated rival, champion of the world, bantamweights, lightweights, middleweights, heavyweights. Time defeats them all. They're cursed. Like heavyweight Tony Galento, whose motto he told me was, throw first. Like Sugar Ray Robinson, the gentleman champ, who told me in his training camp that he whispered to opponents in the ring, lie down, how much can you take? Nobody will know the knockouts are fake. Time defeats the toughest of them all. I hear time snickering down the hall where the Preservation Jazz Band plays the March of Saul. For 50 years I pulled the yoke, and now, sweet Christ, I'm old and broke. They call me Gramps, beer gives me cramps, I eat food stamps. I'm just one jump ahead of tramps. Bless me, Father, bless my soul, this goddamn life's beyond my control. I am an old fart. Tears course down my cheeks. I cannot begin to plug the leaks or stop the saliva that drips as drool. Strangers ask, who the hell is that old fool? My wife was an apple. Now she's a pear. Once she loved triangles. Now she's a square. My speech is slurred, no matter how clearly I try to talk. And even with my cane, it's hard for me to walk. So I tamp my cane to the fiddler's beat and watch the dancers and drink scotch. Neat blue fiddle, how I do prattle, fiddle, faddle, fiddle, faddle, fiddle, faddle, fiddle, faddle. As for love, romance, and the fairer sex, hell, it's been years since that charity visit from my ex. Peter, Peter, pumpkin hauler, had a wife and couldn't ball her. He put her in a pumpkin shell. But after a month, she began to smell. That's a joke, son. Say, where did that rapid heartbeat come from? Did you try and just snicker at my goddamn ticker? Why, oh, why did God give me two eyes and two ears, but only one heart? I fly through life like a single-engine Cessna, buffeted by headwinds, rejected by Mensa. Help me, Doc, I'm running low on gas, except for the fart shot out of my ass, with only one muttering, puttering, sputtering old heart. That's all you get, you damned old fart. What do I lack? What do I lack? I need King Kong to cover my back. Everybody all together, what do I lack? What do I lack? I need King Kong to cover my back. Now even my shrink says that I'm going nuts, 'cause I blew my dough on loose slats and sluts. Says he's sick of hearing me whine and cry. He says, just be sure you pay your bill before you die, or Sigmund Freud won't shrink you up in the sky. Now I've run out of money, and I've run out of luck. And my advice about life is, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fucking fuck?
I could definitely relate to that one.
You can't have... Well, shall I read this third poem now?
Sure, why don't you? It'd be great.
This is the rough poem. It's about a painting, and it's a true story, all of it. In the painting of the lady in red and the sailor, the couple are seated at an outdoor cafe. The woman is much older, practiced, and knows what to say. Much of her ability to please is knowing how to put young sailors at their ease in the room she rents in the cheap hotel with her doll collection and a medicinal smell. A waiter in a white jacket with a black bow tie pours the lady a glass of Sauterne, white and dry, from a twisted hand that seems oddly bent, as if that is not at all what the artist meant. No, that is not what the artist meant at all. The flaws on the canvas, though, are small and do not tarnish its essential charm, nor mar the ivory elegance of the lady's arm. For years, this engrossing 3-foot by 4-foot canvas hung on the office wall of my accountant, and I never failed to admire it when I visited. You like it so much, he said to me one day at the end of a business session. Take it off my hands. I'm tired of looking at it. Which is how the gift of a lifetime fell into my possession. In the years since then, the painting has hung over my writing desk to enthrall, reminding me of a lady I once met in my youth on a weekend pass at a French port of call. Recently, I discovered I could enter and leave the world of the painting whenever I please, that I could converse with the couple at the table where they sit pressing knees, and when I pass through the painting's door, I hear old love songs on an accordion, remembered faintly from long years before, played by a gypsy dancing on the sawdust floor, beckoning me to step into his waterfront cafe with the young sailors on leave in Marseillais. So that I, now dressed in my civilian clothes, can dance with the lady close and slow to Edith Piaf's La Vie en Rose. And I am become 22 again, and I can taste the tobacco taste on my red lady's lips and see the harbor from her room spread out below, aglow with the lights of its 100 ships, glimmering like stars upon a watery sky that leak through the evening's gloom, all seen opaquely through a window smirched with grime alongside the flickering red neon hotel sign as I press against my lady's pillowy softness. And my life takes on a new, fresh start for its several flaws. No painting by Picasso ever spoke more directly to my heart.
Thank you so much for reading these poems for us tonight, Sherwood. I think this would be a good time for you to tell the listeners where they might see you and hear you reading poetry in person.
Well, you'd have to come to bookstores or to the campus of the University of Miami, down in Miami. If your readers want to have me do poetry readings, well, I'm free to travel and can make some of those. I've done some, but they're in the Miami area. The University of Miami every month or so has something the literature department calls You Speak, and I'm a regular reading there. And also there are several bookstores in the Miami area. Books and Books is the name of the one in Coral Gables where I read. And Books is in Coconut Grove. That's a bookstore where I read, and Coconut Grove and Coral Gables, both in the greater Miami area. So that's where I've done my reading, and I've just had wonderful audiences. They've really just been terrific, especially the students on the University of Miami campus. So, but I'm free to travel if you want me to come and read to you. And if you want to order my book of poetry, 50 Poems by Sherwood Ross, you can email me at sherwoodross10@gmail.com. sherwoodross10@gmail.com. And they're very reasonably priced.
Well, that sounds great. And since we're going to be having you for a column later in the show, I'm not going to say goodbye just now, but we're going to do a couple of other things, and we'll be looking forward to having you back in a few minutes.
Okay, I'll stay tuned. Thanks so much.
Sounds good.
Hello, I'm Tom Brady from the New England Patriots. And because I'm afraid if I tell you the truth, I won't be able to live my good life in America and be a pro football player on TV and rich and have a car and a house and a family in America. If I tell you the truth about America and its soldiers and veterans, I will be destroyed.
I'm Joseph, high school football coach. I'm a coward. I'm a co-conspirator in the raping and murdering and plundering of the world by America's military.
I'm Ann, emergency room nurse. I'm an American. I'm afraid of other Americans, really afraid. Hi, I'm Bill, your dentist. I want to be liked. I don't want to be an outcast. I cannot be.
Good morning. I'm Mrs. Thompson, your daughter's third period English teacher. I want to be able to exist, at least exist within a thin bubble. I get one chance at living. I'm not going to waste it by telling you the truth. So, we just want to all say thank you to all of our nation's veterans and on-duty military for protecting us. You keep us free. You are heroes.
The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Russian menace. Patrice Lumumba must die. Jacobo Arbenz must die. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Mossadegh must go. El Salvador, Italian workers, peasants, Greek socialists.
Nicaraguan peasants, Grenada, Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, Argentina, all threats to the American way of life. eating Doritos, watching TV in the dark, hugging the cushy pillow. They're out there. They're dangerous. Workers. Self-government. Health care. Roads. No police. No military. The fish is not aware of the water. And is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. And now I'm pleased to welcome back to the show Sherwood Ross.
And I'm pleased to be here. Thank you. The Hurricane Sandy really changed everything for a lot of Americans. Those who hesitated to believe in global warming before have just had example numero uno before their eyes, and it has really, I think, accelerated the movement of public opinion against global warming and for taking action against global warming. You know, part of the naysayers, like Rush Limbaugh and his crew over at Fox, they really haven't had any evidence on their side. But, you know, they told a story, you know, that people want to believe that everything is going to be okay, and that the critics who want to do something about global warming that maybe would require better gas mileage from Detroit and other sacrifices by the corporate complex. They have failed to recognize, you know, what everybody knows. Well, everybody in the scientific world just about knows that there was a man who headed the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. His name was James Hansen. He was the head of NASA's top institute for space research. And he said if the XL pipeline is constructed, it's, quote, game over for the planet, end quote. Now, that's pretty good authority. I don't pretend even to begin to be an authority on global warming, but I sure value this man's opinion ahead of Rush Limbaugh. And then there was an article in Bloomberg Businessweek, which, by the way, the other week had a cover called "It's Global Warming Stupid," and they quote Munich Re, a big German reinsurance firm, which has just come out with a new report saying nowhere in the world is the rising number of natural catastrophes more evident than in North America. I want to repeat that. Nowhere in the world is the rising number of natural catastrophes more evident than in North America. Hey, that's us. You know, just in the last couple of days, there's been this terrible typhoon in the Philippines. 300, 400, 500, 800 people dead or missing. Whole villages wiped out. Families disappeared, you know, but that's in the Philippines, and it's happening there too, but it's also happening in our country. Between 1980 and 2011, weather disasters that caused losses totaling $1 trillion. $1 trillion. And the number of these disasters that are costing $1 billion or more since 1996 have more than doubled compared with the previous year. That's in America. You know, when you think of the huge Hurricane Sandy and the damage it did, $50 billion in the, along the East Coast. But we're having whole towns wiped out in Oklahoma and Nebraska and Kansas by cyclones, by tornadoes. And, you know, things have changed. And it's like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, who said, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. No, because you wouldn't recognize the kind of typhoons and cyclones now that you're getting in Kansas, because you won't see a witch flying by on a broomstick out the window. You know, it's going to be a lot deadlier than make-believe and Wizard of Oz pretend. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? And the government, from all appearances, has made some gains with automobile gas mileage standards that Detroit has to meet, you know, 10 or 15 years from now. But they're going to allow, that's apparently how it looks, they're going to allow the XL pipeline. And if that gets built, you know, that's going to be game over for the planet. And what's involved there is extracting all these tar sands from Canada and from Alberta, and building the pipeline is going to hasten the extraction of exceptionally dirty crude oil, and it's going to use huge amounts of water and heat, and it's going to extract this crude oil from the tar sands, which the oil would then be piped across the United States, refined and burned as fuel. And in the process, according to an article by Jane Mayer in The New Yorker, it will release a vast new volume of greenhouse gas into the atmosphere. Well, that's not going to be good for anybody's lungs. You know, it's hard to see. But there's a report that just came out yesterday or early today that the cities of Asia have air quality levels which are really increasingly toxic. And they're going to make life in India and China and Bangladesh really difficult. In fact, the more Asia and the more Latin America have prospered, the more automobiles they've bought, the more greenhouse gases are released into the atmosphere. So prosperity is also the enemy of good health here. And much less building the XL pipeline, it needs to be stopped, and the public needs to protest. That ought to be number one for the American people in the next couple of years.
Sherwood, thank you for presenting the this illuminating and depressing viewpoint. I should say report rather than viewpoint.
I thank you. You know, the United States now is concerned about the Middle East, you know, we were packing thousands of troops on the aircraft carrier Eisenhower, and it's going towards Syria, and it looks like the president is going to plunge us into another war. And also they're threatening Iran as well. But the real enemy that is attacking us over and over again is the weather. When are we going to catch on?
Well, that's a damn good question. Sherwood, thank you for returning to us month after month. We really appreciate your columns and tonight your poetry as well. And
thank you.
We, assuming that we're all still around that long, we look forward to seeing you or hearing you all through next year.
Yeah, and I want to sign off with my sign-off, which I really didn't invent. I stole it from a commentator in the 1940s named Gerhard Schachter, who closed all his radio broadcasts with "Good night to everyone of you." Have a good night.
You too, Sherwood. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you.
Now, stay tuned for the continuing adventures of Troy, the town cop. Troy was sitting in the cruiser, brushing donut hole dust off his new blue pants. He was over on the side street, over by the ball field, listening to the high school Saturday afternoon basketball report on the local radio station when he got a call. Something about an explosion over by the church on Elm Street. Troy turned on the siren and the lights, and it wasn't long before he could see the smoke. Lots and lots of smoke. Black smoke rising straight up. There were cars burning in the parking lot. A big hole in the church roof where the smoke and fire danced. Troy ran inside, beginning his full day of helping to save the living, cover the dead, and comfort the dying amid the brick and steel and wood church rubble. The wedding was canceled as the bride and groom and most of the wedding party were among the casualties. The guests eventually went home, walking, limping, or hobbling along in vehicles with flat tires and blown-out windows. It was Troy who discovered the remains of one of the rockets that some said had come from a silent, pilotless aircraft above our town. Troy rubbed away the blood and dirt to find an inscription on the spent bomb. "Greetings from the USA and Barack Obama." When Troy finally got home, he was too tired to shower. He yanked a beer from the fridge, snatched a bowl of stale chips off the counter, stumbled into the living room. He felt in the dark for the clicker and turned on the news, right in time for coverage of the whole church thing. And there he was, hurrying around, jumping over a little broken stone wall. He pointed the beer can at the TV and sort of smiled as he kicked off his boots at the same time. TV announcers explained for their listeners that the members of the wedding party had been terrorists. A sleeper, hidden cell. The bride and groom had been known to do anti-American terroristic things. One of them was the number two person in the organization. "This will deeply inhibit their ability to operate for quite some time," said the TV announcer. Troy popped the top, looked at the clock on the wall, pointed the clicker, and switched to the college basketball game. Join us next time for the adventures of Troy the town cop, when we'll find Troy being called to a high school kegger in the woods and finding only a crashed 69 Chevrolet Lunar Lander and a lonely alien sitting on a stump singing, "I am a lineman for the county," and drinking Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill.
When you pay your taxes to the United States government for its military, you get depressed. When you get depressed, you listen to Barry Manilow. When you listen to Barry Manilow, you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978. When you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978, you wake up to try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook. When you try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook, you drive to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and find out the chicken shed is now the Chicken Shed Restaurant, and Mandy Johnson is the owner. And she has been eating chicken and mashed potatoes 9 times a day since 1979. And you have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scotts Bluff. You don't have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scotts Bluff. Join the National War Tax Resistance Community. Do we believe what we believe because we have studied, held them in our hands, rolled them around, and decided? Or was it because we heard it on the TV from some person being paid to deliver the message? It's been a long road from a stolen election to a government planned attack on September 11th, 2001, to 2 invasions based on lies, based on power, on money, to a murdered senator, the one standing in their way who would not be moved. We didn't want it to come. We marched, we emailed, we sang, we wrote, we got arrested. But it came anyway, and it is still here.
The new American dream is a yellow ribbon free zone. We do not support the troops. The troops are not defending our freedom. They are thugs for the empire. Hoorah. We are all about putting a boot up their ass from Toby Keith. Oh, he's a brave man to encourage other men to kill men, women, and children for no reason. The real patriots were the Dixie Chicks. We all know that now. Protesters protect our freedom. That's the truth. Think Cynthia McKinney, Cindy Sheehan, not George Bush or John McCain. A hero does not drop bombs on people who are trying to live their lives. Come on, teachers, priests, ministers, coaches, parents. Please start telling the truth. We can handle the truth. In fact, without the truth, we cannot live. We will die slowly and then all at once. We will collapse and that will be that. It will be over. A dusty pile of rubble and ho-hos and lies. We need a new dream, something real and solid to believe in. Truth in our history books. Bread on the table of the poor. We have many heroes from which to draw inspiration. People who gave and are giving their lives to the truth. Patriots, if you will. Hard workers. Whatever you want to call them. They're there. They've always been there. Even if we don't see them, even if they're not famous, they don't give a damn about that. They're driven by something inside. We can draw hope from the absolute fact that that same thing is also inside us. This message, brought to you by the good folks at World News Trust, the Spiritual UN, and author James Boomey, the former Rock Creek Free Press, and those individuals who've contributed over the past 20 months so that we can bring you the New American Dream radio show. If you'd like to become an advertiser or supporter, visit our website, theshow.newamericandream.info. Click on the donate button or just send an email to me. CWG@CWGServices.com. Our thanks also go out to the many guests who have taken and continue to take the time to visit with us over these months. And most especially, we thank you, our listeners, Thank you for listening.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The flags are at half staff at the post office and Bueller Chevrolet and the high school and also Taco John's to commemorate and celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden and also the burial at sea of Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, buried at sea, as well as Captain Hook, buried at sea, and the Big Bad Wolf, buried at sea. A while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, the local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts of some of her father's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it. So she sent them on to us.
Good morning, dear people. And good morning, Oakland, California, home of the Black Panther Party. The Panthers are a group that this Midwest boy does not know much about, not supposed to. I've heard that they, Chicago police and FBI, killed Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in a morning raid in Chicago. The Panthers were an actual threat to power. That meant they could not exist. Is there anything or anybody out there these days that's an actual threat to those criminals today? I heard Dick Gregory speaking one day in Omaha. He said he did not believe we landed on the moon. And then he said, they'll roll tanks on your ass. It was an epiphany for me. I did not believe it at first. If you become effective, if you really challenge them, there'll be tanks in your zinnias by morning. I believe we're about to see just how right Mr. Gregory was. Is this heaven? No. It's Nebraska. This is Bigfoot Radio, streaming to you on the internet at www.lookingforbigfoot.net. Hello. I am Jack Robert King. They killed Paul Wellstone. I can feel it all around me, like 98% humidity. Like the feeling there's someone in the house who shouldn't be there. They attacked the World Trade Center to put out the Patriot Act, to steal the oil, to rule the world, to impress their long-lost junior high sweethearts. Who knows why? I suddenly realized it. I reached behind me into the back seat to snatch the bad guy I know is there, but all I grab is air. I can still hear it breathing, catch a shadow in the rear view. They killed the Kennedys and Martin, and now we've got the books and the testimony, but before that, all I had to do was walk down to the Super Value for Mom to buy bread and stand on a milk crate to look into the eyes of the checkout lady as she counted my change. I might have guessed Vietnam was a glare by a lie, by the glare in Father Tom's eye and the way Sister Margaret rushed by, like she was always on her way somewhere to cry. Someone once said that violence is as American as apple pie. Now I know why. Just some small kids from a small town thinking nothing ever happens here, when actually I was right in the middle of the action. The baker bombed a wreck. The barber gunned down Bobby. And the four little grandmothers in blue flower dresses and green metal chairs in that row of white porches on Sarah Street sliced the throats of children in El Salvador in their spare time during the summer in the 1980s. You can see it in their eyes, dull and dead. Not from seeing too much of the world, but too little. The robins are tweeting on the front lawn, puffing their red chests into the sun. Their song, Hang the Niggers! On the days we bombed Iraq, the farmers' co-op elevator dryers hummed a happy tune. The coffee drinkers smiled across Formica tables and asked for more cream, please. and for the 10 years in between, while children died from the sanctions, from no food or light or heat or love or prayers or Hardee's, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith went to work each day, drove on the right side of the road, smiled, kept their desks in order, and were not considered suspects. They really, truly stole a presidential election in the United States, and our response was to wave at the limousines as they passed by on the TV atop the kitchen counter next to the toaster. They shot down or lasered down Wellstone's plane, and they really did attack their own Pentagon. I see this, but I have zero documentation. But I don't care. I have all the proof I need from the glazed look in your eye as you struggle to catch the American flag, to attach the American flag to your car antenna. I understand America by watching you. I know it from growing up in the Midwest of America, from playing baseball and football and riding down the middle of the street with no hands, eating an ice cream cone. The strawberry drips on my white T-shirt, and I don't care. Mama wash it, clean it up, just as she rinses the blood of 1,000 Chileans from her hands. A lemony spray makes everything smell fresh. I see more than I want to in the referee's face as he prepares the jump ball toss, and the smile of the drive-up teller as she helps another customer. Would evil men and women kill in order to gain absolute power? Pretty darn near impossible to believe when they look just like us and sound just like us, and tell the same tired jokes and watch the same TV shows. I do know, because I saw it myself over the top of my supersized Diet Pepsi. While children are being bombed to gooey bits, the mail still arrives at our house at 10, the garbage is picked up at 1, school dismisses at 3:30, and Raymond comes on at 7. I see the banality of evil old Mrs. Schwartz using her tongs to set another fish square into a slot on a lunch tray at St. Mark's Elementary, as a child in Baghdad has his nose blown away by a small palm he thought was a toy. I did not have a leaked file or a tidbit of information or an inside source. I know all I need to know from seeing your guilty face staring out into the night while you wash dishes, or leaning out the car window to order an A&W root beer, or chasing your children to the schoolhouse with one last admonition. I don't need to know Barack Obama or George Bush or Karl Rove. I know you.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO Walmart Santa Claus security guards are about average.
Remember, Mr. Byron does not teach American history in room 203 at 10 a.m. in Sheboygan. He didn't yesterday, he won't tomorrow, or ever. Mr. Byron doesn't know anything about American history. He does not want to, and that's why he's been there for 33 years. We'd like to thank you for listening to our show tonight. We hope you'll be back next week, same time, same place. Once again, we thank our sponsors, World News Trust, thespiritualun.org, and June2508.com. That's the book by James Boomi. We thank you, and I thank you, Mike. Good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm, and good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Daniel Lewin. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.